Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, it should be on now.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
Yeah, and it feels like it too. Yeah, it feels like if it ain't summer, close to summer, 5 straight days. I tell you what, New York City Marathon today, the weather is so uncomfortable or disorientated for the runners that the Brazilian runner who was leading collapsed in the process of a huge lead to stop near my apartment there on mile 20 and word from Timothy Whitehead, one of our engineers, mile 20, collapsed, done, finito, as they say in Portuguese, finito, and of course, one of the good Africans, they picked up the slack on one again, get those names for you later, but that was just something, but it's been something like, I mean, since Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they say tomorrow, it's going to be once again, they say in Portuguese, bonita, and then, today. Yeah. Kids made a challenge. They lost. So what happens is more good weather tomorrow. Second day, we bring in some more November type weather. Happy 10th month. Birthday to my beloved granddaughter Mila. And also it marks today's 10th month anniversary of my beloved mother Vivian passing on to heaven. I said Mila came down on the 5th, I'm going up on the 10th. And we're at MetLife, Jets and Bills, and Bills right now leading. But as always, opening up with a prayer. And put them try to get the legendary Bill Roden to join us. We got the Hispanic Hall of Fame here and Tim White all in the house. We'll get to them. First of all, we got another guard first and foremost. That's the only sports in that block of greater session of never lost in that live stadium. Hey, take off your hat, stop walking, stop talking, bow your head. Hey, hear what I say. It's time to stop and pray. Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. John Coltrane leads us in prayer. Apple, name, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Well, I'm going to have your will, have your way. Last night's lane now, we thank you for this morning getting up. As my mother always said, clothed by your mind. I think there are those sometimes think of our clothes and mind. Thank you for shoes on our feet, those on our back, food on our table. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you to the Lord, as my sister Helen says, my twin, not coming off that cross. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know who brings tomorrow. And we just thank you so much for the day. In the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. And good now on a Sunday. Got to be another gospel music on Sunday on Sports and Digital. Sam Quick gets up with us. then we're going to try to get some halftime, because it's a halftime series for you. Sam Cooke, greatest male gospel singer of all time, and one of the greatest songs he ever sung, gospel-wise, that's the hymn of the God.
Oh, there was a woman in the Bible day. She had been sick, sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by, so she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, what are you trying to do? She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. She cried, no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, somebody touch me. She said, it was I who just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now. She stood there crying,
this is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And with that, Sam Cooke leads us in. We're going to try to catch Bill Roden at halftime, also a member of the Hispanic Society, excuse me, Hispanic Hall of Fame, and on site, our own Tim White. And if you get Tim back out here, you have a feeling on the game. It's the Bills, the first place Bills. He had a good part. He said, you know, surprise. Yes, five wins. Haven't won one win at home. A great road team. Come again, they should have won. I thought big call last week hurt him. It always seems to happen against the Patriots. And couldn't do a couple things when they played against Cincinnati. But they threw me the warning. The 14-3 lead, out of football left, but not played the way it's been played by the Jets. So, a little more music for you. Talk to Bill Rhodes if I could talk to him at halftime. And hey, no more. Well, I've posted that Block Talk Radio on the Trust and God Real Network. And a little more music for you. A little gospel music. Layla Hathaway, Kurt Will.
Nothing could change the love that I promised you.
promise you I say it's 'cause you're mine. It's 'cause you're you. It's 'cause I'm loved. It's what I do. Yes, I know all there is to ever know. Where you've been and where you'll ever go. All your mistakes from yesterday. And the ones you'll make tomorrow. You've been trying so hard to comprehend. What kind of love could cover all that sin? Just know there's none. Don't bother asking how it's possible to love someone like you. It's 'cause you're mine. It's 'cause you're you. It's 'cause I'm loved. It's what I do.
Sports and Death on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. The Doc Stanley and his Fox, where we rope the rumors, false side issues, and brand the truth. Trust in God.
Man, the Jets just got in the end zone with 32 second best for the game. They 14-9 football game now, and the 4 ounces should make it 14-10. And the Jets go in halftime. Well, some seconds left, but more importantly, they deferred the kick, so they will get the ball at halftime. Go momentum. Dr. Danny Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God. We'll be playing some halftime, kind of blue by jazz legend, Miles Davis, and come back with some interviews for you. Live here. to Net Blog Talk Radio. I trust in God. Hold on. Kickoff, so if they can hold on to this, they'll come into the second half. Getting football. You can see things playing pretty good in, right now in that perspective.
Well, it looks good on the later part of the half. Buffalo looked better at first, but it looks like they just came, showed up to play. We'll see what that second half brings, but they're looking like they got the momentum.
Okay, Enhanced Sports is joining us from, we're on your side of the river today. What's happening, Enhanced Sports?
Thanks, Doc. Yeah, they're winning the game right now. Jets are trying to make an effort, but if I know Buffalo, you know, they got some tricks up their sleeve because the Jets always seem to have a hard time with the Bills, whether they play on our turf or theirs. So, you know, I'm a little skeptic about this. But they're trying to make a touchdown. They just scored a touchdown. They're finding their way back. But, of course, the injuries that suffered a few weeks ago, that really hurt the team pretty much, too.
Well, I think the big blow right here is 30-something-yard touchdown run by Allen. You know, when they seem to be coming back again. Now, you take that 7 points off and say Buffalo gets a field goal. We're talking about a 10-10 football game right now, maybe, and 7 jet game, but they played well. They played well. It's still early.
Allen on his game. And I know fans are a big fan of Jared Allen. Yeah.
Well, I think, too, the Jets have only won one game at home, so that's got to improve, too. They have to have a 5-3 record, and four of those wins have been on the road. So that's got to improve. Good pass there. Let's talk about last night. Houston Astros. Dusty Baker now adds to his extensive resume. Oldest man to win the World Series. Not now. Not the guy with the most wins. And not having the World Series. The man who's taken 5 teams to the division title championship. The man who brought about the high five. Also, I forgot about, he was the 1980. I'm trying to figure what year he was. He was the first winner of the National League MVP Series award. On deck when Hank hit number 715, brought about the high five. First man to win manager year, his first year as the manager. Okay, as you said, took 5 different teams to the division title. Yeah. Now is the first manager to have a World Series victory by Verlander. Verlander had won a World Series game, and we also look at he won the pennant in both leagues. And we add the fact, too, that he's had 2 no-hitters combined during the course of the season, one in the season and out here in the World Series. I mean, it's sad, but you're glad that this World Series has come, because it solidifies everything we're saying about Dusty. There were those who would always say, well, he didn't get this, makes Dusty unequivocally not only a Hall of Famer, but, just one of the greatest managers of all times.
But don't forget, he also won a title as a player. Unfortunately, against my Yankees, though.
And you also won a Gold Glove out there. We got to get this one time, because while we got you here, I always appreciate you joining up. Okay.
Yeah.
We've got the in-hand sports on, is it the Fridays again? Still Fridays?
Saturdays. Saturdays, Doc.
Saturday. Somebody's still Friday. Still Saturday. Still Saturday. Give us the time now.
4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Number to call is 512.
Okay.
Yes, 512-543-4662. We made this switch because there's another show from the network that comes in at 6 o'clock, so we wanted to accommodate the show for that. So my time was moved up.
Yeah, you always the accommodating team player. So
yes,
the more to you than you is. No, let's say about you. A great show.
Yeah.
You could have balked.
I hope you get a chance to call in, Doc.
Hmm?
I hope you get a chance to call in. I could use, like, you know, I can use some more people.
Well, you know what? Yeah, what you got to do, call me
yeah.
and let me know. I'd be running so much because I really do. Me and Dusty want to get on to your show, so no problem. I mean, you're always right here for us. And I got Tim here. Okay, Tim left us. He'll be back. And, you know, you're always, now – You always know when we're – how do you always know when we're on there?
Oh, simple. I look at the Blog Talk Radio site.
Okay, yeah. I told the guys to go through to the site, yeah, Blog Talk. Now, tell me something. We've got the your thoughts. Is Judge coming back or is he gone?
He is coming back. I mean, there have been some rumors floating around, but that's just rumors. They haven't said anything much more than that. Until I hear it signed on a dotted line, he's staying. I did hear rumors of his going to the Giants and whatnot, but I think it's just all talk.
Yeah, there was some talk about him going out to yeah, on the West Coast.
Yeah,
because I believe he is a West Coast guy, isn't he? Correct, right?
Yes, he is.
So he's talking about Dr. King says, you know, forgiveness is not a case of acting, but a permanent state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Love for New York. Love for the fans, you know. But at the same time, you know, it's amazing, you know, just to enhance that.
Yeah.
Owners and fans want you to show loyalty when they don't show it, especially from the owner's standpoint of view. The owner says it's always a business, and then when a player takes it from a business standpoint of view, then he all of a sudden
yeah,
he's the bad guy, he's the villain. So, hold on a second, Hans, if we're going to find out what's happening on this field goal attempt by
the
Bills here.
I don't know if I call it a villain. I mean, that's a little harsh, but.
Okay. So the field goal was missed, and that's really a big high for the Jets. Now they got a touchdown.
Ahead of me.
And they got
It's a bad break it's bad for Buffalo, but it's a break for the Jets.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's a big break because they deferred the kick, so they'll get the ball.
Right, you're a little ahead of me.
So
I got 7 seconds after you.
Okay, yeah, no, I said it works for the Jets. They deferred
yeah.
the kick. Okay, now they turn around and they got a touchdown offensively, and they turn around and you got to say a defensive stop here by the Bills not getting the field goal. So they come into the second half on a really nice momentum move from both sides of the ball. And they're at home looking for another home win. So we'll see what happens in another 10, 15 minutes. I'm trying to catch on with some people at halftime. You going to hold on or you going to come back? I'm going to put some Miles Evers on right now, and I'll be back about 5
Ooh,
10
nice.
Minutes. Or you can call
can
back.
Wait.
What are you going to do? Okay.
Yeah,
put
I'll
some
wait.
Miles on. Okay, it might be long. But I've got it. Wasn't that Block Talk Radio? The question goes.
Okay,
halftime,
Miles, bring it
like.
Home.
Okay. Miles Dewey Davis. You know, Miles Davis – was the trumpet player who replaced Orlando Lucumercio from Brazil. Hey.
A Rádio Pajeú é o mundo todo. Fala Stanley, direto dos Estados Unidos.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
E eu moro em Nova York.
Eu moro em Nova York.
Nos Estados Unidos.
Nos Estados Unidos.
E estou ouvindo. Radio Web Pajeú.
Estou ouvindo a Rádio Web Pajeú.
Um abraço. Hugs. God bless you.
Deus abençoe você.
Eita, menino. Quer dizer que agora é internacional, é?
Yes. Ué.
Considered the greatest jazz album of all time. And, you know, look at it. Well, I'll say this. That's not it. Okay. John Coltrane on tenor sax. Bill Evans on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, Philly Joe Jones on the drums, and Cannonball Adderley on the alto. Man, somehow, Miles Louis Davis and his first great jazz collaboration, Kind of Blue. Don't move, Jet Man. No need to be blue for you. Hey, 14 to 10. You got the ball when you come back in, and you made a defensive stop. Offensive. That's kind of sports and blocked up radio on Festival Network. Come have some interviews for you. Sports, don't move. We're going to take away. We're going to go now real quickly and talk to the president of the Hispanic Baseball Hall of Fame, Tito Olivera. Tito, how's things going with the Hall of Fame?
Good, good. Things are going well. Right now, we have one of our director of youth clinics, international youth clinics in Colombia right now, working with Major League Baseball. And, of course, he plans to go to Nicaragua next month to do some things with FMLB, but also at the same time, the representative sent us and show our banner and what we're doing here in New York and around the country as a museum hall of fame.
How long has the museum been in existence?
Actually, last month we celebrated our 24th year. Been around quite a long time. Next year will be our 25th year, our silver anniversary. We're planning to look for a permanent location. That's something that's always been on our mind. However, we have been offered sites around the country, but I'm very explicit as to where we're going to put this.
Well, where have you chief office on?
San Francisco, Oakland, California, Houston, Texas, Cleveland, Ohio, just to name a few places, possibly Cincinnati. Some places, as I said, there's quite a few places that have been interested in it, but I'm very selective as to where I would want this to be.
Now, what did you want, an area that's kind of a big city metropolis? Are you looking for a tropical climate? What is it specific that you're looking for?
An area that would be safe for the, not for myself, of course, but for the people that are going to be visiting the Museum Hall of Fame. It would have to be in an area that I would feel confident that people will want to come. We're an international museum, as you know, which includes also African American players, mm-hmm. which are part of our history.
Okay.
You know, he was inducted into our Hall of Fame in Washington D.C. a couple of years ago and during the All Star Fan Fest.
Okay. Because you know, like I said, no Jackie, no you.
Yeah, exactly. So he was the first person that I actually had in mind when I created this 24 years ago. I had the pleasure of seeing him, not meeting him physically, but I did see him. In New York, roughly before his death, I got to see him. Very elegant man, you know, dark blue, navy blue suit, white shirt, tie, black shoes. I remember everything very well.
I remember my dad taking me out, too. Doc Sandy's posted a blog at the Radio Festival Network, the president, the founder of the Hispanic Baseball Hall of Fame, Tito Avila Jr., Janito here. And I remember my dad taking me out to Ebbets Field and pointing out to Jackie Robinson, Duke Snyder, Roy Campanella, Bill Hodges, Billy Cox, Phoebe Beast, a great place. You know, Mr. Robinson was supposed to come to our church as a guest speaker for Men's Day, but he passed away months before. I remember meeting him and seeing him in Harlem when I was up there. His wife and himself had a jazz concert weekly up in Connecticut.
Right.
I used to go there, and I got a chance to finally meet her. But, you know, you talk about Jackie, you talk about a guy who was considered, you know, even greater football player. Mm-hmm. Baseball was the least of it.
Exactly.
A great sports.
Exactly.
You know, he was a great track star, a baseball player. The great Larry Hardesty at ESPN Radio, greatest black sports guest, said, you know, it was said Jackie was the Michael Jordan below the rim.
Absolutely. There's two things I like to tell you. One was that a couple of years ago I went out to San Diego, and I got to see the San Diego Jackie Robinson Center. Before it was... it was an old center. It had existed, but then they built a brand new one. monies were raised, and they built this beautiful facility, modern-day facility there for the whole community. Mm-hmm. Also, yeah, I don't know if you remember the great boxer Archie Moore.
Archie Moore, incidentally, has the most knockouts by anybody in boxing history.
Interesting, interesting. And his house, his house, before they knocked it down because they were building a new freeway there, was very close to the proximity of the Jackie Robinson Complex Center there. Now, listen to this. I went to high school a block and a half from where the Jackie Robinson Museum is today. And Jackie Robinson used to go with Roy Campanella and Carl Erskine and several other Dodgers, Brooklyn Dodgers, the school where I went to high school to. But it's funny that the museum is a block and a half from where I went to high school.
Yeah. Well, it's reasonable, man. I mean, yeah, you've always been some kind of way cohesively connected with
him. Right, right. Yeah. And my brother, who is here, Brother Ray, got to meet his wife.
Yeah. Last time I saw Mrs. Rachel Robinson, who just turned 100 this year, 2 years ago, she was coming out of Bloomingdale's. I had the pleasure, by the grace of God, all great things come from, first and foremost, I should have had the mic up better, meet her on a couple of occasions and go up to that, the affair they used to have up in Connecticut.
Right,
she had the jazz affair every year. But, yeah, elegant lady. Buck O'Neill told me, Jackie wasn't the best player to come out of the league, but he was the best player suited.
Mm-hmm.
He was married, college education, been in the military, been to college, was married, and it intermingled, with black, with white people. So his resume was extensive, and we know what happened. First ever rookie of the year in 1947, 1949 batting title, world championship. Now, okay, who are some of the Hispanic players you have in the Hall of Fame, and who are some of the black players you have in the Hall of Fame?
Well, we have, of course, Orlando Cepeda.
Cha-cha.
Cha-cha Cepeda. We also have Marichal.
Dominican Dandy.
Manny Mota.
Okay.
Manny Mota.
Most pinch hit by a batter until Lenny Harris came along. He taught and mentored.
Absolutely. Roberto Clemente, of course.
Great one. Greatest right field ever.
Rod Carew. We're talking to people like Rod Carew. Mm-hmm. We have currently roughly 80 Hall of Famers. Into our Hall of Fame, 80, and, of course, 19 pioneers.
Okay, who's some of the pioneers?
Well, you're talking about Denny Martinez. Mm-hmm. Dennis Martinez was the first player from Nicaragua to play professional baseball.
I think he has the most wins by a Latin pitcher, am I correct?
What's his name passed him, the pitcher that used to pitch for the Mets?
Oh, Cologne.
Cologne, right. He just barely passed him.
Hold on a second. Go ahead. Hello?
Answer.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Bartolo Colon just briefly passed him. And, of course, continuing on with the list of people, that Luis Aparicio, of course, is on Hall of Fame. Tony Perez, we just inducted Concepcion in Cincinnati into our Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Ruben Amaro, who played for the Phillies and worked for them for over 50 years. See, the thing that Major League Baseball, the way they're set up is regarding the Hall of Fame, is that there are people with 50, 60 years of baseball experience, owners, managers, broadcasters, and some of these people don't get the recognition that they should get.
But unfortunately, we're not talking about positions of power. We're talking about general managers. We're not talking about owners. So as all things change, they kind of remain the same. We've got a new now. We can count the black managers.
Right.
Okay, we can count the Latin managers. More importantly, we can't count for a long time. Can't think of his name now. He did a great job as GM with the Mets and with Montreal. Adios, me, I can't remember his name now. But the job's not there, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I always said this, Junito, we're in the 21st century. We've had black president, black vice president. New York City has two black mayors, a black governor. Yankees ain't looking for a black or Latin manager. I mean, Tony Pena was the bench man on Girardi. He didn't elevate.
I got to meet Pumpsy Green when I lived on the West Coast.
Eli Pumpsy Green, the last player to join an all-white team. And he and him and Ted Williams were close. In fact, they were best friends when the Boston Red Sox. Yeah.
I got to meet him. Very calm, mild-mannered individual. nice guy.
You know, if Ted Williams doesn't go into the military for 5 years, they probably integrate sooner. But Yawkey, as his peers, was just a staunch devout racist. But, you know, Ted doesn't. No, it was Ted Williams who said in his induction Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame's not complete, so you had to play as in the Negro Leagues.
Right. No, you have to complete them. And, of course, I'm a good friend of Pedro Sierra, who was supposedly last Latin Latino player to be signed by the Negro Leagues.
Okay.
And
good to know.
Nice man, lives in the Atlantic City area.
Yeah, last
very
time
proud
of my late friend Jim Robinson.
Very proud of his
heritage and his accomplishments.
And accomplishments and connection with the Negro Leagues. Played for the Detroit Stars. Is a man that's full of a lot of information as to what happened back in those days.
Yeah.
Good man. Served in the U.S. Army.
Yeah. As is Jackie.
From Cuba. And very proud, as you said, of his heritage, where he came from, and dedicated many years of his life to the sports management area in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland. He worked for the government there.
Okay.
Did very well. Turning kids that have problems, you know, turning them around.
Yeah, kind
of thing.
You know, Jim Robinson, who close dear friend of mine's too, who recently passed. Oh, you know, he had the same birthday as my mom. So, you know, he got a scholarship to college through Roy Campanella, the first black player to win three MVP awards.
Yeah. Roy Campanella used to have in the summer in New York when he was around. Even though he was in a wheelchair, he still would go around.
Good to be alive. And then
the whole clinics.
Whole
clinics for the kids.
I think he's the second greatest catcher in America. Number one is Josh Gibson, Dennis Campy.
Josh Gibson. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So these are people that made huge contributions to
an
the
impact
game.
On our society outside of baseball.
Right.
Okay.
Civil rights.
So, yeah. You know, people don't know. Doc Stanley Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Professor Garvinero. We're talking with the founder of the Hispanic Baseball Museum,
Tito
Jr. You know, Roberto Clemente is called the great one, not so much because he was a great player that he was, but he was a personal friend of Dr. King and Malcolm X, and he was the guy who started the movement for civil rights in Pittsburgh.
Now, let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
The best baseball coach that I had during my time was a man named Don Yearwood. Don Yearwood was the manager of my American Legion team. This individual, as a result of his experience as a manager, helped our team to win the championship. He got us the uniforms from one of the American Legion posts, which happened to be African-American in Harlem. They raised the money, they bought us the uniforms, and we were able to play American Legion baseball that year. And I'll never forget him inviting us to the post to meet with these veterans. We were kids. We were young kids. I mean, we were, you know, 15, 16 years old, and we went to visit the post, and we were received there very warmly by these veterans who have purchased us the uniforms to play baseball in American Legion. I'm indebted to the black community for the efforts that they made in helping me become who I am today as a result of the leadership that Mr. Yu would have with us as youngsters.
Okay, Mr. President, Mr. Founder, Mr. Legend himself, thanks a lot. We're going to get to your brother in between on sandwich. The great legendary Bill Roden in between. You, what would be your all-time baseball team? Who would be your all-time third baseman? If you had to pick a third baseman.
Third baseman?
Yeah.
Brooks Robinson.
Shortstop?
Louis Aparicio.
Mm. Second base?
Good choice.
Carew.
First base?
Orlando Cepeda.
Catcher?
Latino team or overall?
The overall.
I'm Thurman overall. Munson.
Center field?
Center fielder, Paul Blair.
Left field?
Roy White.
And right field?
Right fielder, Roger Maris.
Okay. You got a lot of Yankee in there. That's all. Well, Paul Blair came to Yankee after playing for Gold. And what did you say in Hanson? But the bottom line, I said, as great as Paul Blair was, he wasn't no Willie Mays.
No. Leon Wagner is the number four fielder.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Leon Wagner.
Daddy Wags, right?
Yeah, he used to play for the Angels.
He played with the Giants, too.
Giants. And then, of course, on that team, you'll have Willie Mays, Hank Aaron.
Okay, who's your pitcher? Give me three starting pitchers.
Three starting pitchers. Dave McNally, Jim Palmer. Starting pitchers. Tom Seaver.
Give me one more.
Pitcher?
Yeah.
Starting pitcher. Oh, Marichal, of course.
Okay. Yeah, Juan Marichal, the great Dominican dandy. I remember he was my favorite Latin pitcher. He was my pitcher, and he told me, you know, when he that 16-inning game with Juan Spahn, he threw 247 pitches.
I was going to talk to you about that.
I remember the game. As I was home, and I was listening to an old, I said, let's go to the out-of-town school board. And he said, okay, at the end of five, you know, Marichal, Spahn, and then the nine, at the bottom of the 16th inning, Willie Mays hit a home run off of Juan Spahn. Giants beat him 1-0. Marichal threw me, he threw 247 pitches that day. I just, you know, when you talk about the greatest pitchers from a Latin standpoint of view, he's right behind Pedro Martinez. When you talk about great pitchers in general, he's in the top five right-handers of all time. Pedro, him, you got to put Seaver, you got to put Gibson, and a guy that was going to be, the number one pitcher of all time is Satchel Paige, but it's going to be right behind Satchel. And he stayed focused, and that was Doc Gooden. Doc Gooden at his best was just impeccable.
Well, he was on, he was on. When Doc Gooden was on, he was on. There was nobody that could
beat
that guy.
You know, just count it up, mm-hmm. Let me round out the short, don't spec out.
Absolutely, no doubt about it.
Well, I'm going to let you, man. Thanks so much.
No, anytime.
Okay.
Anytime. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And once if we get any updates, we'll let you know.
Okay, we'll be back.
God bless you.
Yeah, yeah. We can get to his brother in a minute, but I'll sneak down here and talk to the legendary, the great Bill Roden, and try to get him before halftime, but it's not too bad. And Come back?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a minute or two, the legendary Bill Roden. Bill, how you been feeling, Bill?
I'm good.
Yeah. Bill, you World Series last night, Dusty Baker, finally getting the championship. No, I always thought he was a Hall of Fame manager anyway, but I guess this year leaves no questions open. He's Hall of Fame manager.
No, absolutely. He was always a Hall of Fame manager. I think this is just the cherry on top. This just makes it conclusive, mm-hmm. that he's a Hall of Fame manager. But he's always been a Hall of Fame manager.
Yeah, and a Hall of Fame person, too.
He's a great person.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has anything bad to say about Dusty Baker. I think everybody's really, really, even some of the people he beat, are probably very happy for him because he really deserved it.
And can you talk briefly about your mentorship with Sam Lacy?
It's hard to talk briefly about it, but he was a great mentor. He was my first editor, my first sports editor, and was just a great role model about hard work and dedication to the craft and dedication to fighting for fairness.
Yeah, more than just in sports, just a civil rights leader.
Well, yeah, but particularly in sports. I mean, that was his, lane.
Yeah,
that was his lane, was sports, fairness in sports. And he was just a great role model. He helped really set the tone for my career, what would be the emphasis of my career.
Yeah, and you became the greatest sports writer, and this just sound ended to times. I know you got to go. I'm going to send some names. Give me some reactions. Willie Mays.
One of the greatest center fielders of all time.
People don't remember his name. Elgin Baylor.
Hang Time.
Oscar Robinson.
One of the first athletes to really fight for athletes' rights and free agency.
Mm-hmm. Dr. J.
Just a great individual talent.
Mm-hmm. Last two. Wilt Chamberlain.
Just a very unique athletic specimen.
Mm-hmm. And Bill Russell.
An enigma, but a great player.
Could I add Walt Frazier real quick?
A great stylist.
Mm-hmm. This is the last one, sure. Jim Brown. Greatest running back ever?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the greatest running backs of all time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, back to the sports and that block, we're talking to one of the greatest human beings of all time and one of the greatest writers of all time.
my idol, role model, my hero, Mr. Bill Brown. Thanks so much, sir, for joining me. It's an honor of being in your company once again. Love your dealing, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it, man.
No, I appreciate you, Mr. Rowe.
Killer.
You just heard one of the greatest sports writers, one of the greatest human beings, one of the greatest men of honor, respect, and dignity in this city, which means you've heard from one of the greatest human beings in the world, Bill Roden. Columnist for the New York Times, all the news that's fit to print. And, you know, I'm just always taken back with the opportunity to sit here and talk with somebody with that kind of knowledge, that kind of resume. You hear what he said? And he, like Lacey, you know, Lacey was more than just about sports, but fighting for the, you know, fighting without question the racial aspects of negativity. That just too presents itself as support. The hands points. Talking to listening to Bill Roden, I think you got to, you know, I know he stays busy. I'm just, you know, Marion Borkin says, you know, when the people that you admire and respect have time for you, you feel good about it. You know, I saw him today and I said, you know, hey, there's a legendary Bill Roden. And he said, I said, legendary Doc Stanley. And, you know, when somebody like that says that about you, it kind of moves you, you know. It kind of moves you, you know. It's just because New York Times, he wrote a great article, the whole thing when they were getting on A-Rod. He talked about the positives. He talked about the sides that A-Rod had from a positive standpoint of view. But I get no higher degree of respect being able to interview somebody like Bill Roden. It's like talking to Ali, you know. And you know, he said one word answers that was so great. Bill Russell, an enigma. Great, great player. Great silver light, small area. And, wow. Enhanced Sports, come on. You got something to say? I know you're there. Talk to me now.
Okay, I wasn't sure I was on. You mentioned some great players, though, from that lineup. I mean, from first baseman and third baseman. And you can't go on with Thurman Munson. That was, of course, one of the great Yankee players as well. Or that plane crash too.
But, you know, I found a bias with him though. You know, he's not a bias, but he had his guys between the Latin guys and the New York guys. You know, he had Roy White, but that's his team. Roy White was his left fielder. Paul Blair, a lot of guys told me what a great outfielder Blair was, and a lot of people talk about Myers' ability to play the outfield was so overlooked. Now, on the other hand, Brooke Robinson. Would overrated to a degree. You know, they act like he was the only guy that could play that position. The guy that I thought was the greatest fielding third baseman was Cleve Boyer. And the thing that Boyer had over Brooks was he had a greater arm. I mean, Boyer could throw you out on his knees. Boyer could throw you out on his knees. And also, you know, Boyer is, and then your shortstop. He had Aparicio, and I understand, you know, Latin guy, Aparicio. And then, like I said, but then again, you know, an answer. What do you expect the guy from the Hispanic Museum to say? Hey, but, you know, my all-time team, third base is Brooks Robinson. I believe say Mike Smith. Is he crazy? Brooks Robinson hit, not Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson. Frank Robinson hit more home runs than Smith. He batted 30 points higher career than Smith, okay? Almost 30 points high, 294 to Smith, 267. My shortstop, and I got two guys there. The greatest all-around shortstop to ever play this game, Alex Rodriguez, bar none. And if he doesn't get that ban, which was unfair, he'd had seven home runs. But he's the guy. Now, esoterically, his odds. Second base is Jackie Robinson. First base for me. I've got a battle between guys. I know there's Gehrig. I know there's Donnie. My first baseman, Don Mattingly and Eddie Murray. Eddie Murray, only man in baseball.
Yeah.
Over 500 home runs, 500 doubles, and 3,000 hits. He's the first base. Josh Gibson, without question. He's the guy behind the plate. He's the guy behind the plate. In the outfield, I don't think you can top my outfield. My outfield is Willie Mays in center field. I don't think anybody can think about center field not have Willie. Left field, Hank Aaron. And right field,
Roberto Clemente. Now, my justification, besides being my team, every one of those guys, lifetime 300 hitter. Thanks, lady. Every one of those guys won a batting title. Every one of those guys won a World Series. Every one of those guys won a Gold Glove. Yes, I got room for Barry. I got room for Barry. And there's Mr. DiMaggio, who'll probably be upset because he's not starting. And, you know, the older guys, I could think right field, you know, there's the great Al Kaline, who we tremendously overlook so often, you know. And then there's also, you know, another guy that's all taken for granted is the great Dave Winfield. Winfield, another guy that's taken for granted. You know, he was a great – Winfield's one of the few guys, when it initially happened, that won a Gold Glove in both leagues, you know. So, and then my
you
pitching
staff – World Series for the Yankees.
Huh?
The
Yankees
had to go to Toronto
to do it. Well, you know, a lot of politics. We never forget the racial aspect of things. Me and Dave had a long talk one time. Usually we talk briefly for the holidays. We had a long talk. He told me, you know, he always had problems with his money. You know, and, you know you're a Yankee fan, but you're also a Bajon fan. You're a guy in hands that tell these people about the content of the character, not the color of the skin. You know, we can't forget the Ken Griffey issue, you know. Steinbrenner wants Griffey Sr. to not be in the dugout. Griffey Jr. while on the field, he nettles is fielding ground balls with his son. So that's all you need about that story. But that's my team. Pitchers, if you want, you know, three right-handed, Seaver's got to be on my team. Seaver's got to be there. Tom Seaver's got to be there. Satcher Paige is number one. Gibson's got to be there. I got to have Gooden. Now, left-handers, got to be Koufax. Got to be Koufax, and I got to fight between Spawn and Colton and Whitey Ford. Spawn, 363 wins. He's got to be there. So now it's been Colton and Whitey Ford. I got to go see Colton. I can put Whitey in the bullpen along with J.R. Richards, but no people talk about Ferguson Jenkins. 284 wins Jenkins had, and nobody talks about that. By the way, he said the greatest black pitcher is Bob Gibson. But wait a minute. Jenkins won 284 games. So those are some of the things I think about. But find a guy again in a minute. Enhanced, so
yeah.
We've got a second half here.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Give me some more thoughts.
No, that's about it. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. Are you leaving us now?
I can stick around a little longer.
Okay, no, I'm going to talk to the okay, let's get to this now. Your feelings, your reflections. Dusty Baker. I mean, I don't think last night's World Series had solidified him as a Hall of Famer, but let's put it the way, like Bill Bone said, Bill said, it's the cherry on top. There's no more questions now. You know, he's on the bus. He's not going to get him. You know, he's on the bus. You know what I mean? And you know, in hand sports, he's not sitting on the back of the bus.
Right. Well,
you know, I mean,
as much as I'm not an Astros fan, I mean, yes, it, you know, Baker is well deserved of getting because he's waited so long being as a manager for 25, 30 years and finally got his World Series ring as a manager. So, and a lot of people, you know, were rooting for him to get it. Of course, I myself, you know, being a Yankee fan, was a little disgusted that the Astros did win, but
Let's talk about this. You're talking about something happened in 2017. Dr. King, Virginia is not a casual act, premise day in the mind. But we're talking about something that happened 5 years ago. Not to mention, only two of those guys are still on that team. Verlander, Altuve, I think Brickman. And there's only three guys that are from that team. So, and now, you know, let's not forget the scandal that come up against the Yankees that all of a sudden came up and disappeared. Okay?
Right.
Yankees is impeding too, but now you heard about it and it's gone. So, I mean, to sit here and say, well, I understand your dislike as being a foe of your team, but for people to say, well, there's cheating, a lot of teams. And then understand too, they were at the forefront. They were the number one team picked or something like that. But there were other teams that were also allegations and validated that they cheated too, but they just happened to win the World Series. So they got the effect. And hence what? Did you give me your all-time team?
My all-time team?
Yeah, the third base. Who's your third baseman?
I haven't really thought of an all-time team,
to be honest. Okay, so think about it for the next time, then.
Yeah.
I had to select mine. I think a lot of people always talking about great defense, and people forget, you know, a third baseman is not really down there for fielding. He's down there for hitting. Now, it's not Brooks Robinson's fault that he's a great fielder, but I think Brooks got a lot of pub. I think 260, no, he's nowhere near the third baseman that Chipper Jones was, Eddie Mathew was, Nate Robbins was, and batting-wise, that Mike Smith was. You know, but Derek said, he's the guy. You know? Like I said, great guy. But, you know, Brooks Robinson and Larry Bird. And I remember when I first got into business, and one of them was Brooks Robinson. He always called me, hey, big fella. And everybody, and he was right and left-handed. And that's when I learned that a lot of guys, Andre Dawson is left-handed, Larry Bird is left-handed, and Brooks Robinson is left-handed. You know? And it's amazing how well they play, you know, on the hand. They're supposed to be not their best hand. But, yeah, great guy, great player. And, you know, I have no argument, you know, I think he has all the fielding records at third base. A lot of his notoriety is the way Michael Jordan thought twice. I don't think I'm the greatest player ever, but, you know, because I haven't played against the best players, but more importantly, he said, no, my availability media-wise was just far more than this. I mean, we're older than you, but, you know, back in the day, you only got one game a week. You know, it was Celtics and whoever they played. So you got one game a week. Now they're all time there. But yeah, I want you to think about that. And we're going to let everybody know. So, Enhanced Sports and Our Time has changed for you. And I hope you put your clocks back last night. It's 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 512-543-4663. You know what?
I remember that's East Coast time.
Let me go. East Coast time. Okay. And give us the spelling of your name again.
Okay. The spelling is, the last name is Tenore. That's T-E-N-O-R-E. The E is silent, which throws everybody off.
No, you always say Mr. T. You never.
I've been in the pool. Gets my name wrong, though. Oh, dear.
You never do mention that and not mention that. And I want to thank you for the invite to be on your great show and the constant attendance on my show. What you bring to this show with your professionalism, your courtesy, I can't put it in words. I just really,
I think after 7 years of going national and 10 years overall, I think I'm finally getting the hang of it.
Yeah, you know, I would have a tendency to agree with you.
I must be doing something right. I've been a host now for almost 5 years of my own show. I must be doing something right.
Well, one of the best shows around, too. No, were you always a Yankee fan?
Oh, yeah, since before I could talk. Pretty much.
All, who's your favorite Yankee?
You want current or all time?
Give me both. Give me both. All time and
Reggie.
Current.
Reggie.
Reggie? Really?
Reggie.
Hmm.
No question about
why?
It. Reggie from, you know, from the days of the 70s, how he came through. Okay, I know he didn't like Steinbrenner that much, but, you know, he was always, you know, coming through, especially like in the 77 and 78 series.
Prime
and, of course,
time.
Also, And Bernie.
You know,
he was the clutch player of the night. I know a lot of people say Jeter, but I think, you know, he was attracting more for the look rather than the game.
No,
but Bernie was a power hitter, and he always came through.
Mr. T, you know, there was so much.
Yep.
So much. Jordan Maggio in Bernie.
Yeah.
And the. Easy way he played center field, the quiet, dignified way he carried himself. Unlike the manager, though, didn't get the limelight that you're talking about. That you know they should have been on the batting title. He won a Gold Glove. He was a guy that could hit in a position that you want, looking for hitting. 100% right, fast guy, and very, very good guitar player too. Okay, so Bernie, Reggie. I remember Reggie. I told him one time that, you know, he had the tag of being called a Muhammad Ali. Stands and movements, and I think you know the story, Mr. T, that the Mets could have drafted him. You know that story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard
and
about
they,
that.
Yeah. They've been there. His agent called him and said, look, you know, you're the number one draft, but the Mets are not going to draft him. And the Mets said, because he was dating outside his race. And Reggie said, outside my race? The race of all my middle name, my middle name was Martinez. You know?
Uh-huh.
And oh, they missed out. They missed out. You know? But, yeah, those things happen.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, those happen. You know, Los Angeles, Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trusting Network Network, and we're talking to Mr. T. Enhance sports and let you know this is any time times change.
The name is actually Lou, so it's okay.
Okay. You want Lou? Okay.
Yeah,
good. Yes. Hey, can we say LT Lou or just one Lou?
LT is fine. LT is fine.
Okay, we'll go both ways with it. Yeah, sweet Lou. Yeah, it was sweet. That think about it. What a tremendous hit he was, and what a king.
Yeah.
People talk about how the transition of the Yankees changed when. Paul O'Neill came, but you got to look at the transition, how they changed the Cameron Villa Club when Lou Piniella came.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet, but he wasn't really
a nice guy.
You know, it's funny. It's funny because players react different to fans than they do to certain guys. Lou is one of my buddies. You know, it's like Barry Bonds. People talk about, man, you know, always talk to Barry. Talk to Eddie Murphy, but I remember Matt Williams told me that you know, sometimes those guys get a bad rap, but then, you know, you never know what that one or two fans said to them. And you know, it's not like being a police officer. I understood as a police officer that I'm prepared to go the distance in every situation, but I can't judge this guy who gave me a hard time by the next guy. And of course, the next guy's nice. You got to be prepared for the ups and the downs. And I think. You know, New York can be a tough place to play. Now, New York fans can be very rough, very rude, very crude, very racist.
Yes.
So, and I remember Jeff Kent said something. I was standing watching that Block Talk Radio. I was kind of nervous. 14-10 football game. And Jeff Kent walked the guy. Said, you know what? You know, my family has to read this stuff.
Wow.
That you're right. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times. But again, and unfortunately, they take, you know, that attitude out on the fans. They're in that mood. And, I mean, because, you know, I remember I was with Muhammad Ali, once again, all by the grace of God and the son Jesus. We were good buddies.
Yeah.
And we were out, and a guy came with Ali and said, signed an autograph. He said, why don't you get a stamp autograph? Ali said, would you want a stamp autograph? You know what I mean? But you understand, everybody's not like Ali, you know? That's the thing that makes it so great, in that he was as great outside the ring as inside the ring. You know what I mean? And you don't know what will make certain guys tick. And, you know, because a guy's an outstanding athlete doesn't mean he's an outstanding person. You know?
Right.
That happens sometimes. But you know, as fans and kids, you know, you don't forget it. You don't forget it. You know, you never get a second
then
chance
again,
to make
Ruth
a first impression.
Then again, Ruth was kind of arrogant, too, in his day.
Who's that?
Babe Ruth.
Really?
Well.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've heard, you know, well, from some stories, and of course, if you saw the movie, you know, the Babe, you know, he wasn't always, you know, kind to everybody either, especially with the umpires. Because he was kind of a drunk and whatnot and everything, so.
Well, here's a story now. Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth used to travel every year to the Negro Leagues in barnstorming.
Yeah.
And the they was told, there's plan something, don't come down. He said, I'm coming. Yeah, and his daughter, in an article, wrote, in a New York Times article, and he said, you know, the reason why the Major League Baseball never had Babe as a manager, not because of his exorbitant lifestyle, his, you know, bigger than life persona. The reason why the Major League Baseball never had Babe Ruth as a manager, because they knew Babe Ruth would integrate the baseball.
Yeah.
They had black players. Because I teach them every year, Bonstein with the Negro League guys. So, you know, and so you can't believe everything you read, you know. So,
No, you can't. I'm one who doesn't. Yeah. You know, I don't believe anything here either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
But he was a great player, though, Lou. Great player.
Yeah.
And like I said, and I think sometimes we have to understand that, you know, that's what you have to, that's what you get paid for. See, all this stuff about, you know, I don't like Lou, I don't like Doc, the man, Fred, man, I like him because he's a good guy in the clubhouse. Well, you know, a 257 hitter is a 257 hitter. I've never read, and, you know, that's nice baseball scores, Yankees 2, Mets 1, Red Sox 1, and they lost to the Cincinnati, you know, clubhouse. I mean, even here, I don't see, you know, Dallas lost to the, you know, to the New Jersey. Nah, Dallas don't win games. I, you know, I can't, you know, give me, you know, bases loaded. I need a hit. I want Ty Cobb. I love my brother. I love my cousin. He's a clan member. I'm trying to win this game. You know, I'm how much you don't like Barry Bonds? You want Barry at the plate. So, you know, this clubhouse,
yeah,
brings to the clubhouse. If, you know, talent is talent. I love Kobe. I love Kobe. People talk about Kobe. Hey, if Kobe didn't have the ability to play, same thing with Pete Rose. Forget all the hustle. If he couldn't hit. Doesn't matter. You got to have a talent. And, you know, you got to respect the talent. Yeah. Dr. Nanny Sports and the Block, the Greater Stretch Cover Network. There was an interception by the, and they are trying to get back into the end zone. A field goal, you just can't keep coming with field goals. But right now, they're looking. I don't think they got a first down. Was that a first down?
Yeah.
Oh, first down?
No, it's third and three. Until right now. Yep.
Okay.
Now it's the first down. Remember, I'm 7 seconds behind.
Okay. So, let's start first down. We're going to go ahead to Buffalo. Okay. And we're going to talk to Hispanic Society number 2 just a minute. All right, like Annapolis. Jets step. We scored on turnovers.
First and goal.
First down to Robinson. No, they're in. They went in. Touchdown.
Single. That's right. Yes, sir.
Stand
there.
Okay.
Stand there.
This is part 2 of the Hispanic Society. First, the brother that I met was watching some video here of the, shortstop who was the MVP of the playoffs, MVP of the World Series, and just came in to do a tremendous job.
American League Championship Series MVP.
Yes, I said it. Yeah, playoff. Yeah. Playoff, junior, World Series. He came and did a tremendous job. You know, and somebody said something last night. Nobody's even talking about the other shortstop, who was a great shortstop.
Right, of course, Jeremy Pena. I mean, he comes from a family of, the son of Geronimo Pena, who was the second baseman for many years for several National League teams in Major Leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes from a very, very good family. He grew up in Massachusetts, Jeremy Pena. So, you know, he speaks English very well. But being a Dominican ball player.
Yeah, we saw that last night. But then always never losing sight of his heritage. He spoke, to Latin. Look at Alvarez, who hit a mammoth home run. Thus he said, you know, he hit it to the moon. But that's the third time in the World Series he's hit a home run. And his team behind put him up, and they won the game. And you know what? I saw that explosion happening, Ray, because he hadn't really done a lot, but he did it all last night.
Yeah, he did it all. I mean, and the contributions of the pitching staff they have, Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, Justin Verlander, and so forth. And also, you know, the bullpen was very strong, too.
The best in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about Abreu. You're talking about Ryan Presley.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about...
everybody out there.
Stanisic. I mean, all those guys that are out there. There was no way the Yankees were going to get past them. No way. I mean, a lot of people were saying, no, the Yankees are the team. The Yankees are the team. Sure. I mean, they had a great season, but... You got to also see that on the other side, the Astros were the dominating team in that league. They won more games than the Yankees.
Okay.
Yeah, they won more games than the Yankees, and also, they were managed by an experienced manager. So many years in the major leagues.
Well, the best to manage baseball.
And
he's unquestionably manager of the year.
Right, manager of the year. And also, you know, he's tried for so many years, the Giants, Cincinnati, Cubs, you know, every time he tried to get down to the last game, I mean, that was it, you know, Washington. You know, this was his time. This was Dusty's time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was his time to shine.
Mm-hmm.
So, congratulations to Dusty Baker on his first World Series win with the Houston Astros.
Yeah, be right back, Ray.
Okay.
Yeah, coming over here.
Yeah. You, listen, what's your name?
Ian.
Yeah, where you from, Ian?
Well, I live in Long Island.
Yeah. You part of the media?
Yeah.
Okay. Who you work with?
I'm a sports agent.
Okay, listen.
Are you videoing me?
Yeah. You talked about, you seem to be happy to see Dusty Baker finally win that World Championship. Right?
No doubt. How can you not be a fan of Dusty Baker? You know? I mean, I'm happy he won.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not an Astro fan.
Mm-hmm.
Not a Philly fan, but.
A baseball fan.
Yeah.
His friend, George Santiago, said, you know, when Dusty gets through with baseball, maybe baseball should find a spot in baseball for him. He's kind of like an ambassador for the game.
Yeah, no doubt.
Would you agree?
No doubt. Hopefully he continues to manage. How old is he, late 70s?
Dusty's exactly 73.
Oh, he's younger than I thought.
Well, they're going to bring him back next year.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but what do you say? He wants to win multiple World Series, which I like.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, Joe Frazier once said, once you make $1 million, you're going to figure out something to do with another million.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy. I mean, the World Series was a fun series.
Mm-hmm.
Dusty deserved to win. The better team won. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this World Series.
What's your feeling on, you know, analytics? The guy's still a no-hitter. I think he's looking back. We continue, but if he gets a certain amount of pitches, what's your feelings on that?
These guys are a commodity, and to keep them healthy and, you know, pitch counts, I feel like the game is different than it was, you know, in the 80s and even further back, obviously, when guys would complete games was more normal.
But
I'm okay with, like, keeping these guys are worth too much.
Yeah, right now.
So I respect when you take a guy.
That's the way of the world now.
Yeah, if you take a guy out after six innings and he has a no-hitter, I think that's the smart move as opposed to letting him pitch an extra 30, 40, 50 pitches.
I don't know. I think if you're doing well, I think you keep him.
Oh.
Who's this?
The guy from another guy.
I want to watch the game.
Okay, all right.
We can do it after.
No, because I'm on air now. Okay,
okay. Appreciate you.
Okay, yeah, thanks a lot. What's your name again?
Ian,
thanks a lot for joining us. You?
Yeah,
any comments on Dusty Baker?
Oh, I'm not a baseball guy. I'm sorry. I don't know anything about baseball.
No? Nothing?
No, so.
Oh, you just football guy?
Yeah.
So who's your favorite football team?
The Giants.
I see.
That's the only sport in that block to me.
No,
radio,
I think,
get it.
I think
it's
got to my area.
No, I'm just this Lou. It was just funny. Ray, we're going back to you here. I want to catch in with the Dusty Baker thing. What are we watching here now? Okay, Ray. Okay, let's talk about, congratulations. Ray, good to see Dusty win Astros. Somebody said, you know, they're a team to be reckoned with. This is, you know, six straight years, you know, headed toward the finals. They won two out of, and I just thought that, you know, good shot of Dusty. You know, this is a team that people don't talk about what Dusty did to help solidify and go in a situation that, you know, everybody was anti-Astro. I think it was Dusty that made people say, you know, the Astros ain't that bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he came in, you know, after the 17th, after the 18th of the season, you know, the year 18, then, you know, we had the problem with the pandemic and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the team, you know, I mean, they improved. He got them over the hump of the garbage can scandal.
Right.
I mean, and I think he did a great job doing that. And a lot of people were like, "Well, what do you think? Do you think Dusty will overcome this thing with the garbage cans?" And I said, "I'm pretty sure he will. I'm pretty sure he will." You know, and look at this. I mean, all I can say is this: that as long as the Astros remain in the Western Division of the American League, the Yankees don't have a chance. Yankees do not have a chance, because even though they can beat up on other teams, the Yankees were probably wishing that they would have played
anybody else.
Seattle Mariners,
mm-hmm.
than to have played the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I told Dusty, too, that in New York, they were seen as a boogeyman for the Yankees.
Right, and then, you know, then one thing about the Yankee fans, I don't like, the Yankee fans are very aggressive. They're very aggressive, and they think that they're at the top of the world, right? And when they won the division, what do you think they said? They said, bring on the Astros. Bring on the – no, they said, we want the Astros.
They got them.
They got them.
And they got it.
They got them, and they got it. They got it.
Lou, you got something to say?
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, you know, of course, the Astros, you know, I'm not big on the Astros, but Dusty Baker, of course, you know, he deserves the honor. I mean, he's waited so long to be a manager for so long, and he finally got, you know, what he deserved.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
no
and,
way an
you
Astros
know,
fan.
You know, I mean, and then, you know, I think he did a great job in Washington. You know, he got that team going, and then they bring in Dave Martinez.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, the way I see it is more like 96, right? 95, 96. Buck Showalter was the one that built the Yankees, right? And then they got rid of him. They bring in Joe Torre.
He's showing the money with that.
So Joe Torre comes in. And he brings in a couple of his coaches, new coaches, and maybe one or two players that probably they needed, like Girardi, guys like Mariano Duncan.
He had a pat hand already.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Joe Torre comes in, and
he's the greatest manager.
Since Casey Stengel. He wins 96. He loses 97, and then 98, 99, 2000. You know, but I mean, to me, I feel that they were basically buying a World Series. It's not like Houston. I mean, they build from the ground. You know, they you know, it's like when you want something to grow, right? Well, you plant a seed. You know, and that's what Houston did.
Isn't it the way Yankees have always done things in this time frame?
They've always bought championships. Okay, and a lot of people say, well, how come the Yankees? They win first place, and then they can't get past. I said, well, thank our commissioner, the commissioner that we have, right, who implanted all these extra playoff games, all these playoff series. First it was the wild card, and then it was the division series, wild card. And then, right, and then it, before the wild card used to be like what, one game.
Yeah.
I mean, one game. Now it's what?
Two out of three.
Now it's like the division series used to be 2 out of 3. Remember that? Or 3 out of 5, something like that.
Yeah.
I think it was 3 out of 5, yeah. So
all
these, I mean, what will they do next? Will they implant another playoff on top of this one?
Maybe.
You know what I mean? I mean, the way the commission is running things, I mean, the way the commission is running things, I mean, it's crazy. And then that runner on second, the ghost runner at second base.
I like that rule.
What, the ghost runner?
I like the ghost runner.
Well, I guess a lot of people do because they figure, well,
I could not like as a pitcher. I didn't put that guy in second base. What the hell is he doing there? You mess it with my ERA, you mess it with my W. What the hell is a ghost runner? Let him disappear. He doesn't belong in second base. He didn't earn himself there, Ray.
Right?
He don't belong there, right?
That's why they said, well, during the playoffs and World Series, no ghost runner. They're not going to have the ghost runner.
Yeah, but the ghost runner is the reason why I'm in the World Series. I want him back.
I want him back, yeah.
That's what
probably the Phillies said. The Yankees, they said that, of course.
Back then, he's putting their block that we're in the fifth. We're up here in the press box with Ray. Hey, the museum founders, Ray and Tito, brothers. Ray just, I'm talking about the museum, but Tito told us all about the parades. Brought some good facts in there. The ghost runner, the extension of the playoffs, and here's the thing too, both of you guys. I don't think playoff stats should be included with the World Series stats.
No.
You're doing the World Series. Come talk to me, Ray.
Right. I think that the World Series stats should be something different. It shouldn't be included in the regular season stats.
Tito, I don't think World Series stats should be put together with the post playoffs. Playoffs, World Series, separate.
I believe he should be seventh.
Yeah, 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 because now all of a sudden Manny Ramirez has the most home runs in the World Series. Mickey Mantle's 18th don't count no more.
It doesn't make sense.
You look at Verlander now, who has the most strikeouts in postseason play and most home runs. But, you know, World Series is World Series, playoffs, playoffs.
Well,
do you agree?
That's like saying, I agree. It's like saying the Ichiro's 9 years in Japan count as part of,
yeah, exactly.
of playing for Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But then what about Pete Rose, who had an excellent collegiate and high school career? He feels that those hits should also count towards his major league career. So what do we have here? I mean,
it's different when you're coming from different leagues.
This man's 9 years. Okay, technically, Japanese baseball is really AAA baseball. It's not really major league baseball. The parks are much smaller than they're here. A perfect example, Roy White. Roy White finished his last 3 years in Japan and hit more home runs there than he did as a Yankee.
His whole career.
His whole career, yeah, there. And they loved him in Japan, as you know.
Why have they not put a plaque in Monument Park in honor of Roy White? 15 years of service with the Yankees.
I'm going to answer it the one way Ali would.
Okay.
He's not the complexion of the connection.
I got you. Politics.
That's because of racism. I mean, and let's look at the fact. Why is Willie Randolph and Dave Winfield numbers not retired? Guys are still wearing their numbers.
That's right. That's right. Guys still wearing their numbers, right. And especially Dave Winfield. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So why is his number not retired? Something is not right.
As often they change, they remain the same. Let's get to the football real quick. 14-17 Jets up front, 13:33 to go, and a good football game right now. And we're talking to some everything, football, baseball, but the Hall of Fame, 27 years too. Ray, ask your brother, name his all-time team. What's your all-time team? Who's your all-time favorite?
My all-time team, I would say is center field. I'll start with third base. Third base would be Brooks Robinson.
Okay, ditto.
The shortstop would be Luis Samperisi.
Ditto too.
The second base would be I would say Rod Carew.
Okay. First base would be
Harmon Killebrew.
Killebrew. Okay, who's the catcher?
The catcher I would say I was gonna say Earl Batty, but no. Thurman Munson.
Okay.
In left field I would say it would be Roy White.
Yeah.
Willie Mays in center.
Okay.
Say Hey Kid. Mm-hmm. And I like Reggie Jackson in right field.
Okay. Now who's your pitcher staff? Your
pitcher staff, I like.
Give me four right hand.
I like Tom Seaver.
Go ahead.
I like Don Drysdale.
Go ahead.
I like Bob Gibson.
Go ahead.
And Juan Marichal, Dominican Dandy.
Now give me four lefties.
Four lefties. I would say Sandy Koufax.
Mm-hmm.
I would say. Tommy John.
Tommy John. Big boxing guy too.
Who should be in the Hall of Fame. Who should be in the Hall of Fame because he had almost the same identical record as Louis Tian and Chikap Bishonda.
Wow.
And Sam McDowell.
Okay.
Sudden Sam, who I ran into a couple of years ago, and I said, "Hey, Sudden Sam, how are you?" And he said, "Not so sudden anymore."
give me your full left-hand pitches now. Koufax,
Sam McDowell,
mm-hmm.
Tommy John,
mm-hmm.
and I would say, and I like Jerry Kuzman.
Okay. You know, Jerry Kuzman, incidentally, was the pitcher that had gone six innings with a no-hitter in the World Series until it was done. This past week,
right.
By these,
okay. Right, I remember that.
Okay,
and he was also the winner in game. Was it game six?
Yeah, the one that they won the World Series.
Won the World Series.
Yeah,
he pitched the whole complete game.
Yeah, you know, gentlemen, I know you're busy, man. Thanks so much. We're going to go back here. Hall of Fame, brothers. And, you know, you guys had a lot of the same guys on the same team. Mm-hmm. But Ray, Tito, thanks a lot. Okay. Yeah. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and God Network, moving around, getting some things done. See Tim White going to join us. We still got Lou here, and the Jets looking like they
in there.
Hold on. One second.
Kicking team number two. A little ball in the
Great. Tim, we talked about this halftime. He said, wow, they Bills didn't get the field goal, just got the touchdown, and they got the ball first. And it seemed like they carried some of that momentum into this second half.
They did. They got it tied up, and they're playing some good defense at the moment. So we'll see. I like to see if that momentum carries through. After 13 more minutes. We're seeing a good defensive play just now.
My thing, too, here, too.
I don't want to go.
Lou. You got to go, Lou?
Yeah, I just wish.
Okay, yeah, Lou. Okay, all right, well, thanks for having us. I always say, when you get a field goal, it's the plus for the defense. But, okay, Lou, thanks for being with us again, and we'll talk to you soon. Okay, so we still got some time left. Hey, let's give us a little more music here, and kind of keep you updated with what's going on. I send these posts on the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network. It's a 17-17 football game. Some people think the Jets should be a lot better off, but hey, Bill.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sport and Guest on Blog Talk Radio.
What music for you right now? Okay, we've got Ray or something. Come on, Ray.
Talking about black managers in the major leagues, right? Okay, I remember. I know that Dusty is one of the black managers in the major leagues.
One of three.
Okay, one of three. How about whatever happened to Elston Howard? How come they never gave him a shot? How come they never gave a shot to Willie Randle? How come the Mets had to give him a shot? Okay, I mean, what the hell's going on? How come? Talking about also other managers besides black men. How about Don Mattingly? How come Don Mattingly was given a shot? How come they haven't hired a Latino manager like Tony Pena?
Who was the bench coach?
Manager of the year with the Kansas City.
Only that, he was bench coach with Girardi. So it looked like, he didn't elevate. He got demoted.
That's what I'm saying. And he was American League Manager of the Year. I think it was, 20?
Kansas City,
Manager of the Year.
I heard a story that Herman Franks and a group of people were going to buy the Giants. They were going to buy the Giants, and Willie Mays is going to be the player manager, of the Yankees. I heard a story that Herman Franks
was going to buy the Yankees.
Had a bunch of people were going to buy the Yankees before Steinbrenner, and Willie Mays is going to be the player manager. But the deal fell through. Because remember Herman Franks was the manager, was the Giants manager. So he had a bunch of people. Big Young wanted to call him. He had a bunch of people want to buy the Yankees. And Willie Mays wanted to be the player manager. But the deal fell through. I got to ask his son about that. But, it says about the Yankees, Ray. You're in the 21st century. We've had two black mayors here, a black governor in New York, had a black vice president, had a black president. Amazing thing about a black man. So Willie Randle told me when he went to the Mets for the coaching job, they said they were going another direction. When it comes to black and Latin, he's always going another direction, far away. There's only one black player on the Yankees, okay? Yeah. And you look at some of the players they haven't treated right. I mean, here's a good question. I'm going to see what happens with Derek Jeter, because Derek stayed away from the Yankees right now, supposedly because he was with mom. So let's see how things work out now.
Right, and like I was talking to my brother before, I think the reason they kept Aaron Boone is to not let Mattingly be manager, because I think Don Mattingly would have been the next guy to be manager.
The point you bring up, too, that was amazing to me, that he was a guy who was an American League guy,
yeah.
And the first job he got was in the National League. Dodgers. He's the Dodgers. That's what I mean. He just got a major league. He's the greatest second baseman day in and day out. He's the greatest first baseman in the history of the Yankees outside of Lou Gehrig, but he's the number one fielding first baseman in the history of baseball. I just wonder how a guy like that, you know.
Yeah.
Last standing sports, and we're still coming back and forth here. The football game is tied up. I think the Jets should be a lot better than what they are. But we may give some music, try to get some other people here real quick. Hope we put some different perspectives on the game and the situation here. Maybe see if I can get Dusty to call in here for a minute or two. Give me some music, and let's send it to Sunday. It's, a song that my mother told me as a kid. And that is Praise Lord Jesus. Here we go. Ray has more to say, and we're on our way. Come on, Ray.
I also want to say that during the playoffs, I had the honor of speaking to Bam Bam Hensley Mullins.
Curacao.
And I asked him, I says, Bam Bam, let me ask you something. How come the Yankees haven't offered you the position as manager? He goes, well, I don't know. It's politics. I guess it's politics.
It's called racism.
Racism.
Thanks, Ray. Back to music that my mother told me as a young child, and it's going to be 10 months since you passed away. Praise Lord Jesus.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
This is a 70-70 football game. 53. Jets and the Bills. And the Jets got to come out of here. The defensive stand. A touchdown here with Connor Phillips. The field goal will put him back in the motion.
You're listening to Sports and Death on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and God Theater Network. The Doc Stanley and his posse, where we rope the rumors, call side issues, and brand the truth. Trust in God.
Okay. Let's listen to some more football here. Sports and Death. That's here. Trying to make a move. Nice drive here would be good. 8 9-minute drive. Get a touchdown. Big win to get Buffalo to at home. That's Andy Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Good music for you on a Sunday. Gotta be got some music, right? Here's a song for the past. Al Jackson would play. Earth, Wind, and Fire hit to the sky when they still had a female singers. Get Tito again. I'm also up to say. And we got Tito. Could you?
Yeah, one question is, why did it take so long for Major League Baseball to decide to give players of the Negro Leagues pensions as of recently when they could have done that 10, 15, 20 years ago, given these people the recognition they deserved? I realize that they have now recognized the Negro Leagues as Major League. But then again, how many of those Negro Leagues are still alive today? Are the widows receiving any kind of...
Give me my roses while I'm alive.
Okay.
Only those in the living working on the common squeeze on credit. Right.
Okay, right. I mean, are any of those widows getting any kind of compensation?
I would doubt it. The late, great Jim Plummer, community relations director of the Mets, was the only guy I know who did a Negro League Day. They had the guys come, they sign autographs, then they would go upstairs and eat at Chex Warm. When Plummer died, the Mets stopped it. You know, this is the National League. I mean, it's no thing to flip. There's not a Major League ballpark in America that named after Jackie Robinson. Mm-hmm. Minor leagues, Major Leagues, Pee Wee Leagues. If we're talking about, you know, where his number on the 15, but if not a major, not only that, they were bitching about retiring committee number 21.
Which is still going on.
Yeah, it goes on. You know, it's just sad and that's a deal. And your brother brought up a good point. Henry Mullins from Curacao, had some good friends from their family. He was in the running for the job with Aaron Boone.
And, you know, Mullins came up, Lindley came up in the Yankee organization.
Mm-hmm.
Boone was brought into the organization. But, you know, as Ali say, complexion of the connection. The Blanquito, as we know. Listen, Audrey Chambers told me something. If you remember, Tito, Chris Chambers never got a chance to manage. Chris Chambers was the manager, was a batting champion, the world champion. She got fired. Tito, how do you get fired then being the batting champion of the world champions? And she said that the Yankees orchestrated moving him, and we went about the way so they wouldn't be in line when Joe left.
Right.
There you go. Sad and touching. Okay, I'm here, Tito.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Earth, wind, and fire. Where you hear, where there's fire, there's smoke. And Tito just told you. Oxfam is posting the Block Talk Radio, Crossing Cover Network, and things are getting really heated up here. Tim, talk to me, baby. What's going on here, baby?
What's going on?
They
have a good drive on and down at the 23-yard line. If they kill some more time on the rest of this football drive.
Need a touchdown. Later for the field goal. Kill
some time on the rest of the drive and make a touchdown.
Oh, that's
good shape.
Keep that shape because you get the field goal, they can still win the game.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
Well, okay.
But I'd rather have a touchdown.
Okay. Hey, baby. You know what I mean? I'll bring the champagne.
I know that clock is the most important.
I'll bring the champagne as long as you bring the booty. Actually, I spoke to that Black Tiger hitter. Trust some guy in there. Earth, wind, and fire. I'm back in the day. Keep your head to the sky. That's when they had a female singer in the group. But let's go back on the field. It's the Jets. First and 10 from the Buffalo 23. And, okay, in the middle, a couple of yards. Want to make sure he gets that field goal. Some more music for you here. As we hope the Jets can, get it going. But in the mode of music, let's keep the gospel here in these closing minutes of the fourth quarter. Atlanta Adams, Open My Heart.
I feel so lost, 'cause I don't know what to do. Now what if I choose the wrong thing to do? I'm so afraid of disappointing you. So I need to talk to you.
Oh, no, no.
Just a little bit cloudy, Lord, you can guide me through.
Okay.
That's why I open up my heart.
Yeah.
Dylan Adams, keeping the music going. It's time for a promo.
A Rádio Pajeú é o mundo todo. Fala, Stanley, direto dos Estados Unidos.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
E eu moro em Nova York.
Eu moro em Nova York.
Nos Estados Unidos.
Nos Estados Unidos.
E estou ouvindo Radio Web Pajeú.
Estou ouvindo a Rádio Web Pajeú.
Um abraço.
Um abraço.
Hugs. God bless you.
Deus abençoe você.
Eita, menino, quer dizer que agora é internacional, é?
Yes. Ué.
And if I may say that the sports in-depth nation is here. The sports in-depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
Cool, let's show. Timing's really good, and the game's been good, too. 151 Jets at a 3rd-and-2 for first down. You get the first down, they can keep the ball and try to get in the end zone. Buffalo's used 2 or maybe all 3 of their timeouts, and Jets can get it. They just missed getting the first down, too. If they can get the first down on a 3rd-and-2, they can maybe get a touchdown and win this game against Buffalo. Here it is. Here's the snap. Oh, that really messed up. Wow, a big, big, big move. Jets don't get the first down, and the field goal team is going to come on in. Wow.
Timeout. Buffalo
calls
the
third and final timeout.
30 seconds away.
So now what happens here, 1:44 left. Jets can kick the field goal, okay, and then Buffalo will get the ball.
Loss of 8 on the sack.
But,
loss of 8.
That did change the game around here. That so Buffalo has no more field goals.
Okay.
No, excuse me, no more timeouts. New York kicks the field goal. They'll have a 3-point lead. And Buffalo will have likely 2 minutes left.
Carolina will defend a 28-yard
20-yard field goal. That will give the Jets the lead. Let's hold on. It is snap. Hi. It's good. And the Jets have a lead now with 1 point left to go. Let's play some music for you.
Wow. Hit that touchdown.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We'll play the music for you real quick, and we'll be right back. Sam Cooke.
I
Oh, and just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
And to take off.
It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. But I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Wait, way back.
Okay.
Good to meet you, man. How's it going? How you say?
For a while. He was sick for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we're
going backwards.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Good luck. It's a fourth down of 21.
Yeah, okay.
And it's about over for them. Wow, good. They're kicking it away. 33 seconds of the game. That's.
Do I have it?
That's about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Time
out. New York. The first of the half. Be 30 seconds left. Okay. Those guys left. Okay, you know, things turned around. Buffalo using all those timeouts to put them in a bad spot now. They're 33 seconds left to go, and a long way to go.
Yeah, fumble set them back. With,
they
gained 18 yards and fumbled 19, and they got back 19 yards. And it's 4th and 21 now, and I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, as they say, we will see. It ain't done yet. But a big win here if the Jets can pull this off. And Larry Hardesty will close us here, but we will continue afterwards. Well, no, we'll stay here. Here we go. Jets at Buffalo. Buffalo
fourth and 21. And he's looking, he's looking, he's running. He's going way downfield. Incomplete. No flags. Jets are one of us. Jets will beat Buffalo for their second. We're getting ready to run off the air, but Jets have done it. 20-17, 24-7 left to go. They'll come back and beat Buffalo. The second home win. They're now 6-3 and beating a big, big win. Just losing a couple of games here. That's going to be the final. 22-17. Larry Harris will close this before we go on after. Sports and Jets continue. Good day.
Running used to be the way I passed my time.
Navigate. We'll say this before we go on our way. That's
the best step out the door.
That's some dark. Mom, come on.
I just want to ask a question. Who really
big,
cares?
Big win, man. Which it is, man.
Nice way to think around.
The world.
And you just missed making that first down there.
In despair.
Yeah.
Who
really cares?
Football game.
There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When
the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Beautiful. You know what? I'm making some of the cocaine here.
No bells won't be ringing. Who really cares? Who really cares? Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
Such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live. But who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, to save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined. Oh,
in defensive plays, 2017. They beat the Bills in Atlanta, 6-3. And had they won last week, they'd be right in the thick of the division race. But hey, let's continue with some more gospel music for you. The Sunday. And The Lost Penny.
I was walking down the street in a little old country town. I saw a rusty penny half buried in the ground. As I reached down to pick it up, I saw beneath the rust these words just barely visible: "In God we trust." I held it for a moment. Then suddenly I knew what God, in all his wisdom, would have me say and do. He used this worthless penny to make me understand that life is not worth living without the Master's hand. Oh, in God we trust, in God we trust. We're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust. And then I heard a still small voice within me whisper, very clear, "Be still and know that I am God, and I'm always near. When all your dreams come tumbling down around you in the dust, remember this lost penny and place in me your trust." Oh, in God we trust, in God we trust. We're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust.
Hell happened here. That's Stanley Sports and Fly Talk Radio. Some kind of network. We don't know what happened to our studio, but we will get back to it momentarily. Don't anybody move. We will right back there in just a second. Hold tight. And take some more music. Update some stuff for us here. See what's happening. And get back into the studio. And here we are. Okay. No, we don't want that. Cancel that. Good. There we go. Get back some more music for you. This is my favorite Christmas. Just think about it. It's November. It's close. It's close.
Yeah, Lieutenant. Give a gun to the mission.
The precision at which we're playing the back end
has been so much better than a year ago. And when you mix in that Russian coverage and obviously Brick, I'm going to go overboard for Brick and his staff. The amount of work that they've been putting in and the amount of conversations to try to put these guys in the best position possible, I feel like he's been doing an unbelievable job too. And so just collectively, just everybody, Joe Douglas bringing in great players, players executing at a high level, coaches doing the best coaches. So. Only happens to the Jets. Like I said, we don't flinch. I think we're too young to flinch. And yeah, just the belief, you know, just in preparation that we believe we can win, and we just go 60 minutes. And like I said before, our three preseason wins were in the fourth quarter. And
right.
There's just the belief that if you just give us time, or you just if we have a play to play, we're going to treat that play like a championship moment. We're going to do our best. And I feel like they've got that mindset. Maybe the outside world. You know, last week we felt like we gave one away, and I thought we practiced well this week. Not that practice ever translates, but I feel like it does. And but I don't, you know, last week wasn't demoralizing anyone. It was like, damn, we are pretty good. You know, when you're feeling like you should win football games, and you know, there wasn't a coach or a person
really?
In the locker room that didn't think we were gonna be able to get this one done.
How satisfying is it for you personally, a game like this at home?
It's satisfying for everyone. I've always said as a coach, winning in this league is more of a relief than joy. So you
really
won, and with the bye week, I'll enjoy this one. But I think I speak for everyone that this bye week is well needed. But I'm just happy for the people in the locker room, more than me.
So you guys are being boring this week a little bit, since
last
8 minutes. Is that kind of important
to
you, honestly?
Hell yeah, I love running the ball. Go ahead,
Steve. You spent a lot of time on Diggs. I don't think he had a catch in the second half. What are these events? You know, we talked about toss a lot, but I feel like DJ is kind of fun.
Yeah, I know Saucy gets all fanfare, fourth overall, catching anything. He's doing a great job, he's deserved. I mean, he's another interception today, but DJ is playing Pro Bowl football. If you really sit down and watch a tape and you just dissect what he's been doing, he's playing at an all-pro level, and every bit of deserving is the praise that Amon gets. And so he's kind of one of our quiet leaders, our quiet champs, if you will, in terms of what he does and what he brings, both on and off the field and at practice and in meeting rooms, and to gather all those young guys to be able to teach them the game that as he sees it. And he hasn't been getting enough love, in my opinion, but I know we love him there.
Mark, Robert, Bryce, you know, early on, we'll see him getting, speak that play that he made at the end there.
Man, he wins one-on-ones. Obviously, he is being able to rush the passer is like gold. It's a premium commodity, if you will, and it is something he does at an extremely high level. And I know it took us a couple weeks to get him out there. Just you don't normally address 10 D linemen in a football game, and it's just a matter of me just. And said when Joel just saying screw it, we're dressing down because we had to get him on the football field, and he's done his job in terms of making sure that we keep it at 10.
Robert, I know this wasn't a playoff game, it wasn't the Super Bowl, but with what this franchise has gone through over the last 5, 6, 7 years or so, does it mean more? Like, does this one carry more weight because of what it's been like?
You know, like I said, I haven't been part of the past. But for guys like E and Mastrodi and in our ownership group and all the people who've been involved and stuck through it all, yeah, I think it's awesome for them. And, but at the same time, it's home game, got a bye week, and we got a trip to the moon win for us. What do you think?
I'm very happy that
you guys. Yeah, no, I think we're a lot better. But like I said, it doesn't mean anything. You know, we've got 8 games left, and hopefully these 8 games make for an exciting second half.
Appreciate it.
He's doing an album. We'll reevaluate him.
What do you think of his performance?
He really, I think somewhere in the middle of the fourth quarter, somebody made a comment that he was still not. And but it's on the service side.
Okay.
His head coach, talking to the media after a really big win, and football team just playing some real good football. Buffalo Bills, a premier team in football. But today, Robert Saleh, I like him. His cool, calm demeanor, his not nonsense, just very cool, very receptive, direct to the point, but in a courtesy type of manner.
Yep, I agree. He's just so good look and well spoken.
And full of pull what's not common. Common sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, it feels good because of what we did.
Okay.
Course,
quarterback.
The guys came out, performed out. Felt our defense did. Getting the takeaways,
Jack Wilson.
You know, I get the strip sack right there, and you know, stops the points. They come back out and they turn on the force. He's played by those guys, and then showing up the running there from that last drive. I don't think I've ever done the field this as well. So excited for all three phases. Very really cool.
The test of this, can you talk about that, and also the last two plays coming to our field stuff and trying to do at the end.
Yeah, we did a couple RPO things, mainly in the beginning. A lot of those other ones were some quick passes. That one with Mims, though, you know, thinking I was getting man coverage there, which we ended up, you know, getting. We're trying to play with Jared a little bit, you know, trying to get him safety over there. So, you know, when it comes down to crunch time, who's your big body guy that's going to get separation and come down with the play? And, you know, great separation by him and then pull him in. You know, huge play by Harry over there.
Huh? Yeah, I see what happened.
Yeah, I think just getting comfortable and seeing, you know, what's going on. Two phones for you.
Yeah, two phones?
Yeah,
two phones?
Yeah, he's one for work. Yeah, guys are doing a great job anchoring and holding up, but there's some good players on that defense. And so, big focus, obviously, to get the ball in my hands.
What's going on in your offensive line and your running backs imposing their will?
It's post game. It's open and now Zekers.
There was a couple of more there, maybe some options and so like that. We're gonna see how well the run game's coming. I'm just gonna keep feeding them until something changes, you know. And I think we're running down the field until we have more with men there today. So relying on those guys, you can see the momentum, you can see the guys at the front, you know, they wanted it, they wanted to keep running the ball. You can see the big guys at the front were getting after it.
Yeah,
we have some funky plays that end up working out in games, and I think that's cool to have that chemistry. And you know, it's going to keep growing because there's some looks that we can still improve on. You know, I'm just trying to figure it out with him and everybody else, of course. But you know, he did a great job showing today. Had some great catches.
There's people leaving against the
But, I mean, it shows we obviously are competitive. We have says, right? You know, we expected to win this game as a team. You know, of course, we understand this is a good team. We understand what they're all about, but we understand what we're about as well. So, the mindset is, you know, that we should be able to go in there and compete. And we knew it was going to be close. Of course, we have a division crunch time. Like, we did that. Yeah, huge play. I mean, especially that defense was low right there. What a great call. We hit him with the screen. We had a little, fake off from left or whatever it was. And then get exchange. No one out there. O-line did a great job releasing, and then he finished it.
Did you want to work on last week after all these games that seemed successful today?
Right. To me, you know, quiet the noise. One play at a time. Going through my progression, getting the ball out of my hands, hanging in the pocket, all the things the quarterback's got to do. Just play the position the right way.
Were you thinking during the sky cam?
Yeah, I've never seen that before. No, I didn't think so at all. I can't remember what even happened after that, but it was a weird, like, halftime delay kind of thing. But, move on, go to the next play. No, it's actually just the ankle that I tweaked all the way back in, like, the Steelers game. You know, and it's fine, but it's one of those things that kind of just gets shocked in the moment. And I'm laying there, and the trainer's like, you know, take a second. I'm like, I know I'm good, but, like, I just need a second to, like, let it calm down, you know. So it's not a big deal. I'm healthy. I'm good. you know, they were able to tape it up for me, and I'm just.
A couple more sacks for those last 8 minutes. Is that the blueprint for this team's success?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we did the whole game kind of went up to that point. I think it just always comes down to what we've shown this year, just not giving up, everyone leaning on each other, relying on each other, playing good ball, and just doing right on. Yeah, I mean, you also look at, you know, what we were kind of going through at that time, too. There's a lot of guys on this team now that weren't on the team then. And so, you know, we're developing, we're growing, we're getting better. And then we had a lot of young guys playing in that game as well. So, you know, we were able to take another step forward. The weather conditions sucked also. So it was like, it was a grinder. You know, but to come here and see what we can do on offense, I thought that was really cool.
How much do you think you guys grew up today as a team?
Right. I mean, I think it's just the execution of not messing it up. And you see, like, the entire game, it was playing the field position game, putting ourselves in good positions, and relying on our defense to get some stops. And, you know, I think that helped us. I think we're learning from all this stuff.
There were a lot of people outside this building that didn't give you guys a lot of credit, you know, whether it was, oh, they played back quarterbacks or, you know, Cleveland. Do you think that this was a statement to the rest of the league that you guys would get?
Yeah, we don't want to go back with it. Nobody, you know, no one in our locker room is sitting there saying, it's too hard to come by this league. You know, the confidence that we have, and I think the greatest part of it is that a lot of us have, if anybody mattered outside here, they'd be coaches or they'd be players, you know what I mean? So nobody cares. Everyone is relying on each other, locked in, you know, just working on them, getting better, improving.
Maybe you're stacking up. you stacked up.
No, show.
Huh?
Still on. Okay, that's it. The Zach Wilson, the head coach. Jets with a 3-point win, a big win here at MetLife, and gives them some life too, Tim. They're now at 6-3, second win at home.
Yeah,
they should have won a couple more. I think 6-3, they should be 7-2 at the worst. maybe 8-1. You know, they should have won the game, that New England game, and had the other game too. But hey, 6-3. Hey, nobody thought they'd win 6 games.
I'll take 6-3. You know, compared to the last couple of seasons the Jets have had. Yeah.
And I will take off. We're going to run now. We're at the end of the show. Ronnie, you going to bring us back in? And we're going to run on out.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
And with that, it's time to go. And this is Doc Stanley Sports, the Blog, the Minnesota Network. Leaving. Just win. Good such interviews, too. Most very nice and legendary. Comparable. Bill Roden. His Rock Hall of Fame, the Aliva Brothers, and of course, our own Tim Touchdown White. Good evening, good night, great weather, marathon, weather was good, Brazilian runner way ahead in the past,
running used to be the way I passed my time.
Yeah, he was running, so in salute to the runners,
all over
and the
town
New York City Marathon, we're close, very good running.
Every now and then I find some company, but every kiss, simple breath. Try to tell myself that it was just a game. I'd run again to try and ease that lonely pain. No matter where I traveled, there I'd be, stuck in those walls of skin called me. And I was just a running to find something true. And I'd just be running with nothing to prove. And I kept on running and had nothing to show. They all saw me running and said, there he goes. one day while I was on a run. Somehow you made me feel my life had just begun. I seen the last of all my roaming days, 'cause I knew from you I'd never run away. Now you've got me running to get home to you, and my heart keeps running when I think of things you do. And I won't be running to no one else no more. They all see me running and say that's love for sure. And I'm not hesitating, no, as soon as work is done, yeah, glad that my leg can carry me. Life ain't complicated, like, oh no, you've got only one heart, one joy, one place to be. Now I'm watching people running all around, chasing after things that'll just run them down. Life is so much better if they change their ways. I wish I could tell them, but you know I can't stay. 'Cause I gotta get running and get home to you.
Gotta get home,
and my heart keeps running when I think of things you do.
Think about the things.
And I won't be running to no one else, no one no more.
Harvesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Sports in Depth. Congrats, Chelsea Astros, Jets Bills. Wasn't that for Dr. Melvin, Doc Stanley Senior's Week? Wasn't that honored to have on this segment the legendary and esteemed scribe from the New York Times, the Honorable Bill Rose, and sports classic number 10 Touchdown White. Wasn't that today, two talks with the Hispanic Baseball Museum founder, President CEO, Gabriel Tito Rivera Jr., and his dear brother and assistant to the President CEO, Amy Hill. Sports in Depth is an in-depth performance education history look at the world of sports on this is Melvin Doc Stanley's renowned legendary world-winning radio show, Sports in Depth. The version of a daily soul perspective, bringing also both in-depth looking perspective not only from the sports of our time, but two of the players and performers of the set of men spoke now and of yesterday. Sports in Depth, a.k.a. SID, also brings us the unique strategy of sports from an intellectual perspective. Now to the legs, so that it takes world God-given talent and addition, two takes, God bless my two, with passion, determination, and belief, competing in accomplishing too. And with in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect, the Doc's iconic posse, Sports in Depth is too, the world in depth. Thank you guys once again, for we always woke the rumors, all set of issues, all kinds of facts of issues, and brand new truth. God does what he wants, when he wants, because he wants, because he is good. Act him. What's in this? Lots of radio. From the mind of my heart,
God bless you all. Trust in God.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's good enough.